Okay, thank you for joining us on the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Grinner and
Chantel Renee.
Chantel Renee, where's your camera, girl?
Oh, I thought yours was off because I don't see you.
No, my camera's on. I am on.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize because I was like, oh good, because I had some extractions and my face is all puffy and yeah. And then
in the beginning and then it went out. I thought it was going to come back on.
No, I turned it off because I look terrible.
Oh, Lord. Chantel, we do video now. Every one of our episodes are video now because that's what's needed for the climate that we're in terms of podcasting and short term, you know. All right. Anyway, so we are recording. We're going to do reviews of A Haunting in Venice and It Lives Inside. When I first saw the trailer for Haunting in Venice, I had planned to skip it. And it just so happens that when I saw It Lives Inside, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to see that. But since then, I have scheduled a trip to Italy for 2 weeks, and I happen to be going to Venice. So I was like, ooh, Venice. So it came back up as something that I was interested in. But let's start with you doing It Lives Inside. This is so weird, me on camera, you not on camera.
Well, give me a minute. I'm trying to get a little bit adjusted. I don't see you, so I thought, oh, okay, we're not doing it.
That's wild. I remember last time you said you couldn't see me either.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that recently. It's kind of weird, right?
Did you need to update your app or anything?
No, it was strange because you came on when we had our last guest. You weren't there, and then you were. So I was like, okay. I don't know.
That's
very
wild.
Strange. All right, I'm almost there. Okay, so
well, you know, with our podcast, you could always, you know, represent horror. You know, you could put on a mask or paint your face any kind of wild way, and it's acceptable. Like it's on brand.
Exactly.
Let's see. Why are you you sound stopped up in the nose? What's up with that?
Oh, you see, now I see you.
Oh, there you go.
Weird.
That's weird.
You weren't there, and then all of a sudden you were.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is tuning in to see us. Mm,
yeah,
you me, not just me. I don't mind looking at myself in the mirror, but talking to myself in the mirror is a whole nother thing, and that's what I feel like I'm doing right now. There we go. Okay. So.
Okay.
Yes. I'm glad I can see your face now.
I got a tooth infection. So it wasn't just extractions. It was an affected tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, good Lord. They're like, oh, Lord, these people. And so I ended up getting sick from it. And then with me, I swear the wind can blow from north to south and I get a freaking sinus infection. So I've got a sinus infection now. So I just took my very last antibiotic. So hopefully I don't need any more. We'll see.
Have they told you anything about prevention? Like how can you prevent getting them so often?
No, but, you know, I don't know.
Because you do seem to get an infection like once a month.
It does seem weird, right?
Yeah. So it's got to be something.
It could be the small farm that lives in my house.
Like you're experiencing an allergy reaction. Is that
possible? I mean, it could be. It could be. It starts off that way and then it becomes, you know, more.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can see all the swelling and everything. So it just looks so lovely.
You really can't. You don't look swollen. No, I do.
But
you
that's
don't.
Okay.
You don't look
anyway,
swollen.
We are talking about movies.
Okay. All right. About movies. Tell us about the thing inside. So we can take the first half, I suppose, to talk about the thing inside, and then we can take the second half to talk about A Haunting in Venice. And I'm going to listen, and you're going to let me know whether I was right, that was a better movie, and that's the one I should see next.
Okay. Okay, well, I will say this. This is a take on a whole different culture's concept of what a demon is and how a demon operates amongst humans. So in this particular culture, it is the Indian culture. And it is, at first, you see these teenagers and you're like, okay, you know, there's something going on with this one girl. She looks a little bit crazy wacky. And then you see this other girl and you're like, okay, she's trying to fit in. You know, it's that typical, I'm trying to fit in, you know, Indian girls, you know, are considered smarter. I don't know. Anyway, so this girl's like, I love this little actress, by the way. I personally have rarely seen any Indian individual that does not look like a freaking goddess. I mean, majority of Indian women are just beautiful. Mm-hmm. But this young girl, she was on a show that I watched. I think we both watched it, didn't we? On Netflix. And Never Have I Ever, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I do remember watching that. Yeah.
So this was Davy's friend who ended up dating the guy that Davy ended up with in the end of the series. Anyway, she's another young Indian girl. Her hair was kind of cut to here. I can't remember her name because I'm just the worst at names. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm just terrible with them. But she is basically in this family where her mother is very traditional and is trying to get her to be traditional. And she doesn't want to be. She wants to be American. And to the point where she doesn't want to speak the language. She doesn't want to participate with the holidays. Which I think the Indian culture is quite interesting because I've been watching various shows over the past couple years that have to do with Indian culture, and it's beautiful. I love the community that they have. They also, I mean, there are a lot of gossipy, you know, things that happen, but it's even closer than that of the Hispanic community, because the Hispanic community is like that within their own family, like their cousins and their uncles and their, you know, third cousins and fifth cousins. And, you know, everybody is like that together, coming together for holidays, coming together for birthday parties, you know, doing all these things together. Whereas in the Indian culture, it's everybody who's a part of that community comes together, and everybody, different people host it at different houses, and they do prayers together, or they do, you know, religious celebrations together. In this particular time, there's a celebration to represent this god or goddess who had captured and killed this demon. And so you're thinking, okay, it has something to do with that, but it actually doesn't. This demon represents something different. Now, I will tell you, I had the ending was a lot to me. I felt the same as the ending in Smile. I had that kind of feeling of, oh, okay, there's a little something more here than what meets the eye, than what we're seeing. And I really feel like I need to see it again and to really understand exactly what was being communicated at the end. But that's how I felt, was very much like at the end of Smile. Mm-hmm. But the shots that they did with the camera, it made you feel like you were involved. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't too Hollywood, but it wasn't just like, you know, raw footage either. Mm. But the kills were interesting. They were different because this creature, this demon, can make himself visible or invisible. And so when he was killing, he was invisible. So you would just see the body reacting to the creature, without the creature actually being there physically. So that was unique and different. There was a good amount of gore. And I felt like there was, you know, the family horror drama aspect of it, where maybe like a little bit of guilt was there and from the, between the mother and the daughter. And then because their community is so close knit, even the daughter feeling responsible for this other girl who it actually takes her. And they realize she's not dead and she has a chance to go find her. But and so it's just a real interesting like peek into the horror of what another community would experience if this was a, you know, this is truly how they feel demons work. And I found that very interesting because like the Christian demons, you know, they attack the individual through there's different steps to infiltrate a person's soul in Christianity to the point of possession. Okay. And so it's very personal, right? It's very much you. Whereas in this thing, when they exercise it, if you will, which they don't really, it doesn't really go away. It's an interest. It's a different twist of how they have to, the title tells you it's inside. It lives inside. So there's a different take on how to control this thing. And it's that's the other, it's total polar opposite of what the Christians would say, you know, one should do with the demon. So I find it extremely interesting personally because of that. I love the idea of the different cultures. And the kills were real cool. Mm-hmm. And it just had a really good high creep factor. Overall, I said it was like an 8, 7.5, 8.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like the individual scenes were like up there, like an 8, 9, 10 at some points. But the overall presentation, the whole package, it felt a little loose in some parts. Mm-hmm. But again, it could be that I just don't know because it is a different culture. So maybe there was just things there being that weren't communicated well enough for me to totally understand that and put it really high. You know what I mean? But yeah, I would recommend anybody see it because it is a very unique, you know, concept. And, you know, I mean, when was Japanese horror really popular? Like about 6, 7 years ago? You know, I'm talking about The Ring and all that. Maybe that was a decade ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, when we started seeing Japanese culture and not even, and now, and then the Korean, you know, horror started getting popular 5, 6 years ago with like Train to Busan and all that. It was
I'm waiting for so many of those to come back. Like I'm waiting with bated breath. There's so many that Sweet Home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, 100%. It's true. Yeah. And so, you know, we see all these different takes on these different monsters. And I just thought, this is really interesting. I don't know much about the Hindi religion or the way they, you know, how they see, you know, all the things that they in their religion. But it makes me want to. It makes me interested and curious. And it actually, it's quite unique. I will, not to spoil it too much, and I'm trying not to, but one of the things they use, the prayer they're using to subdue this thing is a prayer for peace and love and calmness for the actual thing they're trying to capture. So it's very interesting, like I said, how it works.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for soldiering through that. You look like are you on some pain meds right now?
I am a little bit. I have a temporary bridge. So okay. That's why I'm having to talk slow because I bit myself a lot.
Okay. I understand. Because, you know, when I had my root canal, the last one, you know, my tongue was numb for like 6 months. So I get you. Now I can feel all the times that I'm biting the heck out of it because the numbness is starting to go away. So I get you. Thank you for sharing that. I am gonna watch It Lives Inside. It sounds like something that I would really love. Now I had to make notes on A Haunting in Venice so that I wouldn't miss or forget anything. Like I said, I wasn't planning to watch it until I realized that I happened to be flying into Venice, Italy in a week. And so I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is great. So when I first saw the trailer, I was like, eh. And then when I went in, it was an empty theater. Oh. I was the only one in there. And I figured that probably was some indication on how it was going to go too, because that means that people are not enjoying it. Because, you know, word of mouth, when you talk about how great something is and everybody got to go see it, just like now I know I need to go see It Lives Inside, you know? So I was like,
Thank you, daughter. She's going to love it.
For It Lives Inside. Yeah, I usually have to have them watch the trailer first and then let me know. So when they saw the trailer for Haunting in Venice, it was like, no, it looks like it's going to be scary. And it wasn't.
I didn't think it was supposed to be. No, it was not.
It was not scary at all. But it did have that same darkness that The Nun 2 had. You know, when we were talking, I was talking about how dark, and it was so dark in The Nun 2 that I felt it was energetic. Like you could feel the energy of the place, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that with this. It was just dark. Like the building was dark. Outside, the atmosphere outside and the scenery, because I really love what I've seen on TV anyway of Venice. I'll know in person what I think of it. But right now, what I've seen of it, I love the scenery outside, but the house inside looks so cold. And I was like, man, everything was so dark and it just did not look homely to me. It looked like a museum and it just felt like I would never want to live in a place that looked that dark and cold. And so that's the main scenery, the main setting is inside of a house. So I don't know whether to talk about what the movie was or my impressions of things, but this is based on an Agatha Christie murder investigation stories. Now, when I mentioned my husband about Agatha Christie, do you remember Agatha Christie? He didn't know what I was talking about. So, so that, I think that says something, like if you're old like we are.
Well, this is also, isn't this the same inspector from Knives Out? And murder on the.
It felt like Knives Out. It did, but I thought that was Daniel Craig. Knives Out was Daniel Craig. Yeah, it's not that one. I don't know about the other one you're talking about, but it's definitely like murder mystery.
What about the Onion one? Isn't there one called Onion?
If it is, I haven't seen it. I didn't. Okay. If it is, I haven't seen that one. But
everybody who listens to it, like, bitch, this is what this shit's called. You're fucking it up.
But I remember Agatha Christie, and I was sitting up there thinking, this feels like Agatha Christie. And at the end, and I saw based on Agatha Christie, I was like, yes, for sure. This is, it's very clever in how they tie things together. I did like that. Tina Fey's acting, it gave her character away. Like, I knew what her deal was because of her acting. And I don't know whether she was supposed to be like that or if it was just bad acting. You know what I mean? Like, was she supposed to be so obvious or was that just, I don't know. No offense to Tina Fey or the movie for that matter. I wrote down, and I know you like lines. I wrote down three quotes. Since I had the whole movie theater to myself, I pulled my phone out and started sending myself messages about it. There were three quotes that stood out to me that I loved. Okay, the first one, every house is haunted or cursed in Venice.
Ooh.
So that gets me to thinking, yeah, when I go there, I'm going to be with a whole new perspective. I was thinking of how beautiful it is outside. But now I want to know about the houses and the buildings on the inside. Now, what we don't have in America, we don't have old, old buildings.
Yeah.
America's very new. Yeah. But all these, Italy is old, you know, Europe is old. So I was like, you know, I'm sure it does have some real old energy. And and so now I'm thinking, wow, I could really, really delve into some of that while I'm there and get some story ideas. You know what I mean? Like, this is a whole Hughes building thing now that I hadn't even thought of. But it would make sense why that house looks so ill to me too, you know?
That's true, yeah.
And the next one was, scary stories make life less scary. What do you think of that? Do you think that's accurate? Is that part of what we are drawn to horror about? Is that part of our makeup and what is watching horror and writing horror and reading horror making life less scary for us?
I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, today, our friend Jay Mazur messaged me. Cops surrounded her neighbor's house and arrested him. He got accused of 20 plus rapes of children, and he had over 100 counts of child pornography found. Girl. So that's horrific, you know?
Yes, it is.
But maybe being able to watch, you know, Art the Clown has made us a little bit more, okay, I can look at this and confront what's going on there, because the world is not an easy place to live in. And a lot of people are afraid to walk out their door. So maybe horror does help us in a lot of ways.
Yes, help. Some people, I prefer to look at it as help. Other people might consider it negative in terms of being desensitized. Like, we might be desensitized to the other things that would just drag people down. And I'm not. I don't feel that way about that. I feel that way about real life things. And so, you know, this is more of an escape. So it you know, if I can be a little more desensitized, because I'm so sensitive to energies and things that are going on, I'll take it. I'll take some desensitivity. But agreed. I thought that was an interesting quote. And the last one that I wrote down was, we cannot hide from our ghosts. We must make our peace with them and live somehow.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that was towards the end. We cannot hide from our ghosts. We must make our peace with them and live somehow. And I kind of look at that also, you know, I guess maybe demons could be interchangeable there. You know, when people are struggling with their own demons. I posted a meme a couple of days ago about people be running from their demons, but me, I'm all hugged up with mine. You know, I'm making my peace with it. You know, I'm transmuting whatever darkness that's within or around and putting it towards something that can help me through life. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that quote too.
That's awesome.
So when you watch...
I was just going to say, I looked it up. It is actually a third in the series of, the first one was Death on the Nile. The second is Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh,
so this
okay.
is the third installation of this inspector.
But
I don't know that it's, I want to say it's all the same actors are similar and they're playing different roles. But I'm not sure. So it's some sort of anthology. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not know that, but that makes a lot of sense, actually. Some of the things that was going on there, it kind of fits. And I didn't watch any of the other ones, I don't think. I mean, I read them, I think. That Orient, on the Orient, that one sounds familiar, like I might have read. I may even have that one downstairs. I have to look and see. Those are written stories, right?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But those are actual films, too, yeah.
And films, I didn't watch any of them. And if this wasn't called Haunted in Venice, I probably wouldn't have seen it either. It was just really the Venice part that drew me. And also because it's haunting, I enjoyed Haunted Mansion earlier this year. I enjoyed Haunting of Bly Manor and, you know, Haunting of Hill House. You know, I'm usually
he has
liking
something new
haunting.
Coming out too. Yeah.
What is?
The guy who wrote those two, he has something new coming
out. Oh, yes, yes. And I'm going to watch everything that he puts out too. But I expected more horror and I didn't really get that. It is, you know, is this a ghost story? Is this a detective paranormal investigation story? Definitely. Is it murder mystery? Definitely. Is it a love story? There is some obsessive love in this that is a good twist that I did not see all the way. You know, like I didn't see the motive of the person who actually did the killing, but I did know that was the person that did it. And I know I'm probably spoiling some, but I won't spoil that because that's a pretty key. You know, the murderer themselves is pretty key. So there was a nice twist. It's PG-13, so there's no blood or guts with this one.
Wow, you saw a PG-13 movie?
Yeah. there's murder, but the blood and guts, you know, I love creative kills. There's none of that in it.
Yeah.
It is, like I said, it's clever, it's witty, but there's this, you know, it doesn't, that action element, the factor is not there. There were maybe one or two, three jump scares, but not enough to really make me think, oh, this is horror. And then I looked it up on IMDb. It's considered crime, drama, horror, mystery, thriller. A bit light on the horror part, though. I will say that Michelle Yeoh, Y-E-O-H. She's been in a lot of stuff, and I really love her. She is so gorgeous in this movie, and so is Kelly Riley. Mm-hmm. Kelly Riley is playing a mother in this movie, and they are just so classically just beautiful. I love their style. You would like the old school. This is right after World War II, so you would really like that retro look. And you may even like the inside of the house. It's just way too dark for me to live in. Like, I would be depressed every day like that. Like,
you know. I would be like,
My favorite character was the boy. There's a really smart boy in this movie that kind of reminded me of the kids on The Haunting of Bly Manor. You remember those kids? I was like, oh, they're so adorable. They was just so amazing. I mean, he didn't strike me as much as those kids, but it reminded me of them because he was pretty smart. He was probably the smartest one in the whole movie. Well, almost as smart as the detective. I enjoyed Haunted Mansion more, the one with Lakeith Stanfield. And I will say this, this was a reprieve for me to kind of get away. I was okay. I'm always okay going to the movies by myself. I love being in there. Yeah. The sound, the comfortable seats, I can put my feet up on the seat in front of me. I enjoyed that, but it was also a way to get away and just be by myself for a little while. Mm-hmm. Chantel, I don't mean to bring the mood down, but I got to mention this. I had two friends that I grew up with to die within a week.
So crazy.
Within a week, my friend Gene Allen Kelly Jr., he died last week, and it was in a motorcycle accident. Mm. And then 1 week later, within the week, I mean, it's been a few days now. I haven't even posted about Aisha Shawn Dixon because I'm trying not to get buried in the grief part. I will. I'm going to post about her. I had a chance to talk to her sister. And so Aisha Shawn Dixon, I grew up with her. I'm going to post pictures with her. I didn't post pictures with Gene out of respect for his wife because I knew him for a long time. Aisha Shawn, before he and his wife met, Aisha Shawn Dixon, I grew up with her, and she was killed on her birthday. She celebrated her birthday, and then she got hit by a drunk driver. And so this is like within, like I'm barely over this one. And then like, and I don't mean get over, I mean, barely get to the point where I'm not breaking out crying all the time. And then bam, I get this call. So it's been really, really weird just thinking about life and death and ghosts. Like, because now I'm thinking about, like, where are they? And, you know, you always think you have another chance to talk to somebody, and then that time never comes. Gene and I, we remained friends throughout. We talked still. We DM'd, you know. I hadn't talked to Aisha Shawn in a minute because she didn't have social media, and that's really how you keep up with people nowadays. But it's just so weird to be watching a ghost movie. So I was thinking about that at the time also while I was there, and, you know, the things that they were saying about ghosts and whether people have a chance to cross over or whether they were murdered. And, you know, so because especially Aisha Shawn, she was hit by a drunk driver. That's involuntary manslaughter, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, because it's such a sudden thing, Like, is her ghost still hovering around there? Is she not going to get rest and peace until this person is brought to justice for killing her? You know, these are the sort of things that I'm thinking about now because of these fresh deaths. Yeah. And so I watched Gene's, his funeral on Facebook Live yesterday. I watched it. And it's just so weird seeing this person that you've known for so long to be in a coffin like this. And it was a closed coffin, so I wasn't able to see him in the coffin. But so anyway, I just wanted to say rest in peace to Aisha and Gene. So
yes, may you guys find your peace. Well, it's you never know.
You never know, guys. Which is also why I was even more determined to take this trip.
Yeah.
They both were 49, and I will be 49 tomorrow.
Yeah, girl. Ugh, you're so young.
Yeah.
I'm turning 50. I'm 49 right now, but I'm like, y'all are so young.
Yeah. No,
but, I mean, girl, you know, I was telling you, because you texted me a little bit about this, and not too much, but we reach a certain age in life where we start seeing people we've known for a long time start going. And you never really know who's the lucky one in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're still alive. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to watch people you've known a long time, you know.
Yeah. I pulled up some pictures. I went through my old photo albums and pulled up pictures of all of us. I found a picture of Aisha Shine. Excuse me, Tasha. Excuse me. Me and Gene Garner. Gene Garner and Tasha were cousins that were raised as sisters. So the three of us were together all the time. Aisha Shine was there a lot because we were all a part of a church group. So our church friends, our friend groups, my childhood friend groups, we've been DMing each other, trying to encourage each other because, you know, we're all, you know, facing this at the same time. Like, man, what is happening? What is going on? Mm-hmm. And I know that's the cycle of life and death, you know, but still, that back to back like that, you know, I can't remember a time where it was back to back. But anyway, in this picture, I was like, there's only two of us left in this picture now.
Mm.
Which is kind of wild. Like, you know, we're kind of just biting the dust.
Well, it only gets more and more from here.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to bring the mood down, but let me say this. Everyone, please do what's in your heart to do. Don't wait. Don't delay. I am going solo. I have never done anything like this before in my life. And I'm determined to do it because it's in my heart to do it. And I am, it's been rocky planning the trip, but I don't care. Even if I just take a pair of changing drawers and some toothpaste and I get the rest of it when I get there, like I refuse to be sitting here waiting. And then whatever I want to do never comes because tomorrow's not promised. And also when my childhood friends and I and our DMs, when we're talking to each other now, I make sure to tell them that I love them just in case. Like, so over the over the last few years, I haven't gone to see anybody when I go home for Christmas. I just hang out at my parents' house. But this year I do want to try to get around to see people again. And I was talking to my friend Tanya, and I was like, I want to make sure I see you this year when I come in. She was like, oh, yeah, girl, for sure. And then I was like, but, you know, just in case I don't make it or, you know, whatever happens between then and now, just know that I love you. And I meant it to. I meant to see you, and something kept me from it because you never know. So.
Yeah don't. And, you know, that's why, you know, as you've all heard on the various TV shows or movies or fortune cookies, that's why it is called the present, because today is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So treat it as such.
Absolutely. All right. So what do you have coming up, Chantel?
Well, I'm going to get back in the dentist chair and get a permanent bridge and hopefully not run out screaming because I almost went nutso when he pulled that tooth out. That was so sick. It was so, so painful. I was like, I'm a tough bitch.
Hold up. They didn't numb you?
Oh, I was numb. Everything else was numb. But when you have an infection like I had, you can't numb it.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
I'm like, just take it. This power of Christ compels you. Pull that bitch out. It was so bad.
I gotcha. But, well,
no. And then I have a little book I'm working on. I'm probably just going to get the ebook out because this has put me back a week. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be 13 short horror stories for Friday the 13th in October. So that should be out and available on Friday the 13th. And then hopefully by the Houston Horror Film Fest, I would have at least gotten a few copies for people to buy. I'll be at the Spooktacular in Copperfield in October and the Houston Horror Film Fest pop-up market over in Katy. What is that place called?
Wildcatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm doing Wildcatter on October 28th. I'm registered for that. I still got to get a tent, and I do have a table, but I might get another table. I need to go. I think y'all said to go by Academy to get one, so I need to go do that. And I don't have a big tent. I just have a beach tent.
Yeah, you just want at least a 10x10. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much fun though. I hope everybody who's listening comes out. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I plan to have a good time either way, even if it's just me and a chair. Yeah. Well, I'm up in this bitch.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But we
I don't know. So many fun things you could do with horror, but yeah. We're probably going to be dressed up at least because that's Halloween weekend, you know, mm-hmm. since Halloween falls on a weekday this year.
Mm-hmm. There's a Spirit Halloween by my house now, and I dropped in there earlier. Yes, I was like, oh my god, have y'all been here? She was like, no, this is our first year. I was like, okay, I knew better. I was like, I have not seen this over here.
And we were looking, remember?
Yeah, well, I found one. Yeah, and I went in there today, and oh, nice. Yeah, I saw some stuff in there that I thought you might like too. And I got a mat. An unwelcome mat. That's what I call it. I have a no solicitation sign on my door and everything, but for some reason, people always still want to come on and they got their whole scheme. I'd be like, do you see the no solicitation sign? I'm not soliciting. I'm offering a free.
Mm-hmm. My husband got
nothing is free.
Somebody about that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you were offering me something, you were looking for something in return. You were soliciting my time, my mm-hmm. energy, and eventually money, I'm sure.
I'm going to define soliciting, and that's what's going to be on my door. When they walk up, they can just read the whole definition. I got on a tangent there,
but where I was going with that is that I found another rug to replace my rug that was there, and it is Pennywise looking up.
That's too good. It's
Pennywise looking up from the manhole. I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be great. I wonder how many solicitation knocks I'll get on my door now.
Well, I have a pile. It's literally like a pile of broken porcelain clowns next to my door. It's like a foot and a head and a hand, and then you see like a headless body. I'm like, knock if you want.
That's going to be great. And what's funny is people are going to expect me to take it down after Halloween. No. This is permanent.
You'd be like, we all float in here and knock. Yeah. I dare you.
I was torn between that and there was one where Pennywise is looking and he's holding the balloon and it says, welcome. You'll float too, or something like that. Nice. I was torn between that one. I was like, no, I'm going to go with this other one because you're not welcome. Like, I don't mean welcome. And, you know, that welcome part. But the lady that worked there actually gave me an idea. She was like, just cross out welcome. I was like, oh, man, that would be so great.
Yeah.
Welcome slash. You know, just slash through that. You'll float here, too. But I went ahead with the one with him looking up in the from the manhole. Nice. Yeah, because that's basically like, mm-hmm. come if you want to. I dare you.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. The new season of Chucky starts in October.
Oh, okay.
And it looks really good. You know me and my Chucky. I love them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I don't know how to feel as a writer. I want to support all the writers' strikes and everything, but there was somebody who said today, one of the writers, if you want to know how it all ends, pay us. I was like, that's like holding our entertainment hostage. We're not going to tell you.
Like, well, you know, speaking of the strikes, they have reached a tentative agreement with WGA. So they are not, as of today anyway, right now, they have reached somewhat of an agreement, and the members have to sign off on it. But it is like, so nobody can return as of yet. Like, you can't go just now, but they are right there at the finish line. And yeah. And then hopefully move on to SAG-AFTRA and see what happens then.
Yeah, because then the actors are like, look, I can't buy that Palm Springs house because you asses aren't letting me work. So come on with this shit.
It's I think, and when I really started to think about it, I think it's the crews that are really suffering right now. Like, yeah the people that are doing the lights and the sound.
We just talked to somebody that said they didn't have any work because of the strikes. I can't remember who it was we spoke to.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But yeah, but, I mean, yeah. It's just, it's really hard all over. No, I'm going to tell you, having lived in LA, I mean, that is an industry town, and they were already poverty level on almost every single neighborhood. So I can't imagine what the past few months have been like.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, here in Houston, for those of you who are here, these droughts have been killing our economy. I've talked to so many folks who have just been going through it because, you know, people don't want to get out. They don't want to spend money. There's just, the gas prices have been outrageous. The food prices are going up. And it's like, everybody's like buckling down because they're like, what is happening? You know, so hopefully we got some rain today. Hopefully this temperature starts coming down and people start getting back out and wanting to shop. It's that time of year. You want to get out there anyway and start getting your gifts. And just remember, we support each other. You know, that's how this bitch works. Mm-hmm. We got to get out there and support each other, guys.
Girl, speaking of local droughts, there were a few fires that were just ignited in the grass near my house just from the brush.
That's
yeah,
scary.
A few times the brush, not in my neighborhood, but right by my neighborhood, especially by the local schools, the fires just ignited and sparked, and they had whole brush areas. And I was like, man, when did that start happening here? That's an LA thing, I thought. But
no,
it happened here a couple times.
Yeah, there was a huge brush fire the last day of the Houston Horror Film Fest. Mm-hmm. I took the Beltway home, and it was huge. You could see the big plume of smoke in the air. I mean, all the way home, I saw it. I passed it. I saw the huge flames. Went on, kept on going. And when I got home, I could still see it.
Wow, so, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been one. I mean, we went into this summer over our normal expectancy of moisture, because it had rained so much, and we had a beautiful spring, lots of beautiful flowers. And then it was just like drought. And we have gone into an extreme drought condition. It's not just a normal drought.
Well, which, if we were hearing over 100, over 100 for months.
Months. And you got to, the one thing people weren't thinking about, and it's happening in my home, is the ground is hard, so hard, it's moving away from the house. You got to be careful because that can fuck with your foundation. Get out there and water your house, guys. Sounds crazy, but water the sides of your house so that dirt doesn't separate fully.
That's right. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. The things we don't think about, because, you know, we're in a tropical place. It's so weird to have this drought in such a tropical place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is why we write about murdering people. I mean, you know, life is too stressful. Let's just, like, take some folks out.
Apparently, we don't need to do the murdering. Just turn up the heat enough, and the fires are just going to come through and burn everything down anyway.
Yeah, that's so true.
All right, well, girl, get some rest. Thank you for sharing about this. It Lives Inside. Yeah,
It Lives Inside. Everybody go see it. I think it's a great show. I think, you know what it is? I think it was an age thing for me. If I had been like a little closer to the age of of the actors, you know, or at least in my 20s or my early 30s, I would have been a little bit more affected by it. Because all the actors are young. But you know, you have a little more affinity for the youth, so you might be a little bit more like really into it.
It but depends. It makes sense.
You have babies in your house, you know. Yeah. So, you know,
it depends. Yeah. Well, I would say that, and I'm not so sure if I'm giving a glowing review of Haunting in Venice. I would just say temper your expectations. So don't go into it looking for a horror. Go into it looking for a murder mystery. Think of Agatha Christie. If you go into it like that and you're just chilling on a Sunday afternoon or whatever, and you want to just kind of watch some clever murder mystery, then you will enjoy it. But if you go into this looking for a horror film, you're going to be really disappointed. There is a ghost element, but you know, this is like a philosophical ghost element, not really like not a haunting ghost, as the name of the movie would imply.
Yeah, and they're definitely playing a little bit of a trick there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there was a seance. So I didn't even talk about what the movie actually was, but we have this investigator. So he is a detective, and we have this author, which I could relate to in the sense that this author, her last three books were dud, and she wants to have another hit. And they have both become famous off of her previous story because she had him on the story. You know, like she mentioned him, he became famous because he has been able to debunk whether something is really magical or not, whether something is supernatural. He can detect that there is some human behind what it's a trick. And so she brings him in to do the investigation, and they have a seance, and he is supposed to determine whether the seance is real or not, whether there is really a haunting, a ghost, or, you know, or whether this is all tricks being played on everybody for a buck. And that's really the basis of the movie.
I get it. Okay.
So if you go into it knowing that it's a murder mystery, and you want to solve, like Knives Out, like you said, like Knives Out, if you want to solve this murder mystery and see if you could figure out who did it, and I don't think it's hard to figure out. I don't think it's hard to figure out. But if you can, if that is your purpose in watching it, then sure. But don't go looking for no thrills and no, you know, get that thrilling feeling of the danger that we usually get with horror.
Yeah. You'll definitely get that with the show I watched, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to watch that next then. All right. Have a good night. Thank you all for watching. See you on the next one.
I'll look better, I promise.